turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 21. Let's look at what Jesus says about His way. Jesus is speaking to some Pharisees, some hyper-religious Jews. And He says to them, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now there's some kind of notion among men that Jesus Christ is out there just looking for any way that He might point to by which people might find Him out, discover Him, and be saved. That He's using all kinds of methods and presentations to try to get people to believe in Him. That's a notion that's out there today. That's a notion among a lot of Baptists. And this notion entertains the idea that to accommodate humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ has concocted 100 ways for people to get to Him. And a lot of people who have come up with this idea, or at least adopted this mistaken idea, believe that this explains the multitude of different denominations and religious orders that you see around the world that are called Christian today. But I want to go on record this morning as saying that this is not what people use in this theory that they have, is not the explanation for this, what I call Hydra-headed monster that we casually call the Christian religion. I think rather that the real explanation for the anomaly of multitudes of different religious orders or denominations that call themselves Christians, I think the clue to why it is out there and so many different kinds of doctrines and denominations that defend those doctrines say we're Christian, I think the answer to why is in this verse. And it's in the phrase that Christ Himself used when He said, "You will seek Me." Because I believe that holds the key to why there are multitudes of Christian denominations. So we want to consider Christ's words here and think about what He's warning these religious people about. But first of all, I want us to notice that Jesus said in this verse, "I go my way." I go my way. Now, based on that statement that He made, we want to notice, first of all, that there is a way, a single way that Jesus Christ has defined. "It's my way," says the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one instance, without being flippant or without being insulting, that it's Jesus' way or the highway. It's that simple. Now, I know that we all know the verse of Scripture that says that in which Jesus said, "I am the way," and that's true. But within that statement, Christ defines His way also. And here He says, "I'm going to go my way. And there's something going to happen to you when I go on my way." Now, Christ Himself, as well as faithful and inspired writers of the Bible, have given specific guidance about what that way is. And that way is clearly defined in the Scripture. In fact, it was defined in the Old Testament. The Jews, many of them missed it. Some didn't. You'll remember the testimony of those couple of faithful souls on the day that they heard that Jesus had been born. They were looking for the coming Messiah. And they hadn't missed the message. But a lot of Jews did. And the mainstream religion of the day had missed the message. And these Jews that He's speaking to here in our text had missed the message. They had totally rejected this same Messiah that stood before them. They had rejected Him. as the Messiah. They had rejected him because they had their idea about how he was supposed to appear and what he was supposed to be like, and he didn't fit their mold. And because of that, he rejected the very pathway that the Lord Jesus pointed to. Now, he points to that path again in verse 24. It's really summarized right here in this verse. And he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He said to the Jews, you don't believe that I'm the Christ? You don't believe that I'm Messiah? If you don't believe that, you will die in your sins. And that sums it up. I could just stop right there. But I want to look at some more ideas, some more things that Christ tells us or should be teaching us if we'll just follow him in this. So we see that the Lord Jesus teaches that the way of Christ is the way, if you will, of the new birth, because believing in Christ comes at the time of the new birth. And the new birth comes at the time of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a birth, a new birth, through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God that gives faith to a person to believe solely in the work of Christ, solely in the Christ of that work, if you will, and solely in everything that Christ represents. So this is the truth that Christ is talking about. This is his way. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Lord Jesus, or God, said to us in this verse of Scripture, he said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We received reconciliation, or being made right with God, through the powerful work of the Spirit in the believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the way of Christ, the one the Jews missed. Now, this means, of course, that if we want to find Christ, he's going to be found on that path that he has set, his way, and he defines that way. Now, this way of faith that we're talking about, trust solely, I say again, in the solutions of Christ. It trusts solely in the teachings of Christ, solely in the work of Christ, solely in the Christ of the work. That's what the Lord Jesus teaches us. Now, brothers and sisters, a drowning man out there in the water will clutch, grab instinctively for a life ring if you throw it to him. He doesn't think, I've got to get a hold of that life ring. He may be thrashing about, and his subconscious self will tell him to grab any object he can to keep from going down that third time. And I tell you something, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is like that life ring to a soul who's brought to the power of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's brought to the place to realize that he has no hope, that he has no possibility of living unless he clutches to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the drowning man with the life ring, he clutches by the power of the Spirit, by that inner man, to that saving Christ, and trusts only in the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. That's the work of grace in the heart of a man, and that is the way of Christ. I go my way, he said, and that's where he went. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the way that he went, carved for us salvation by grace through faith. Now, notice that the Lord Jesus assured these people that they had looked for him, they'd seek him, but they would die in their sins. He says, And this is a powerful, heart-stopping statement from God with us. I go my way, and ye shall die in your sins. Let me ask you a question first of all. Is this a contradiction of Christ's own words where that he said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 10, he that seeketh findeth? It looks like it, doesn't it? It looks like a contradiction. He says here, I go my way and you will seek me and you will die in your sins. And in Luke 11, he says, he that seeketh findeth. Is there a contradiction here? No, there isn't. The reason there isn't is that in this statement here in our text, the Lord Jesus was talking to a group of unbelievers who had totally rejected him as Messiah. While in the other, in Luke 11, he was talking to a group of believers. Now, let me just say something right now. If you're here this morning and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you die in that state of rejection, you will die in your sins. And we know what the Bible teaches about where that takes us. Believing in Christ is His way. So this is not a contradiction. But really, what we see here is the fulfillment of the biblical statement in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, where the writer of this verse said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what we see in these Jews. He said, you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Because they were seeking him in a way that seemed right to them as men. But it was not the way, his way. And so he could easily say, you seek me in that way, and you're going to die in your sins. Now, what's he telling these people then? Well, he's obviously telling them that they would seek him in places that they had reasoned out in their own mind, they had reasoned out would be the right places to seek him. That's what they were doing. They were looking for him in places that the hyper Pharisee, the hyper priest, the hyper scribe felt was the right place to seek Jesus. That's what they were doing. Now, the one feature, brothers and sisters, about man-made salvation philosophy that I believe is common to every concocted idea by humans about how to get the salvation is that people who concoct their own path, their own way, reject the part of God's message about salvation that makes everything dependent upon God and Christ. That's what they do. They reject the central core truth of the message from God that everything depends on God. I am the way, I remind you again, saith Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what they reject. It's all up to God and Christ, and they've got to have a part in it. No, we're going to co-op together with God, they say. And by that, we're going to be saved because we'll do our part, and God will do His part, and we'll be saved because we help God. No, brothers and sisters, a human being never helps God until God has mercy, compassion on that poor sinner and help him by sending the Spirit into his heart to give him a new birth so that he has the capacity to see the way that is the way of Christ. And when he sees that, God has helped him by the new birth to be able to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But these souls here that Jesus speaks to, they reasoned in their own brains what would be the right way, the right path to follow to obtain salvation. Now, What kind of ways are these? We want to just briefly review them. One, that it was very common among the Jews, what Jesus spoke about in John 5:39. In that verse, he said to those Jews, he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Notice that Christ nails it there when he says, in them you think you have eternal life. You think it's in some way that you have gotten the Scriptures that has the root or the source for eternal life. "But they are they which testify of me." The whole purpose of the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, is to dovetail down to a single message, and that message is that no man gets to God except through Christ. And those Jews missed that. They had adopted a religious philosophy that says we can get to heaven, we can earn and maintain salvation by what we do with the Scriptures. At the time was the Old Testament, of course. So what was it that they were saying? We've got a way to get salvation, and that way is to use the Scriptures in the right way. We make an entire education out of it. We make the Scriptures themselves to be the great, exalted, uplifted, divine thing. We ignore the Christ of the Scriptures. Of course, they weren't saying that consciously, were they? But that's what they were doing. We ignore the Christ of the Scriptures, but what we do is we make a business out of the Bible. That's one way that men, and I believe this happens more often than you might think, that men seek to get and maintain salvation. There's a whole lot of people today, I believe, that they're works people, that they think that there's some kind of salvation to be had because they have the Bible and they read the Bible and they study the Bible and they try to practice the things in the Bible. There's no salvation in any of that. Salvation must come always and every time through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing more. There's another way that mankind seeks Christ, and that is, and let me just say before I move to this one, that those Jews had concocted the idea that Messiah was defined by them because they used the Bible to define Messiah as they saw him. And that Messiah was the one that would save them. And that was the false Messiah. It was the one they'd concocted in their heads. So again, they were using the Bible as a means of salvation based on their interpretation of what the Christ was, who Messiah was. Now, so there's another place, though, where mankind seeks Christ. And we find a reference to that in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Look with me here for just a moment and see. Jesus said, he was talking to a group of people, and he said, "I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, what am I talking about? He saw right away that those people who were standing before him were depending on their own righteousness to save them. And there's a whole class of people today that are depending on their own righteousness to save them. That's why they're so big on works and are always preaching that unless you attain to the second blessing and get pure holiness and become purely and totally sinless, you can't go to heaven because they're depending on their righteousness to get to Christ. This is one of the reasons why Jesus could say to those people, you will seek me, but you're going to be seeking me according to your own righteousness. You will seek me, but you're going to be looking to get to me by way of your own righteousness, and it will not work. You shall die in your sins. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verses 21 and 22 has something to say about this righteousness, or the righteousness that gets us to Christ. And here's what it says: but now the righteousness of God without the law, or apart from the law. See, those Jews thought, if we keep the law, according, and of course, in parentheses, back in the back of their mind, there's a condition. If we keep the law according to our interpretation of it, that was there, you know, that was in the back of their mind. If we keep the law, we will have righteousness that has merit before God, and when we get up before God, we will be shown to have attained the Messiah because we were righteous. We kept the law. But God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, the righteousness of God without the law, or that is, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Jews, you had not one iota of ground to stand on when you were saying, this is the way to keep the law, is the way to get to Christ, because the law and the prophets themselves testified that the law was not the way to get there, and the prophets testified that that was not the way to get there, and Jesus Christ is not gotten to through the righteousness obtained, so-called righteousness obtained by the law. But the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, listen to this, which is by faith, the faith of Christ. Which is by the faith of Christ. And there is the telling story about what righteousness gets us to Christ. It is the righteousness by the faith of Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, all them that believe in Him who is the way. That's how righteousness is gotten, of the kind that gets us to Christ. We're accepted of God when God transfers to us Jesus' righteousness. And when Christ says, as it were, I'm taking my righteousness and I am transferring it to this my brother, and God the Father will say, accepted. I accept that one because he has your righteousness, my only begotten Son. That is the righteousness that gets us to Christ. But there are some who practice the idea that they may pursue righteousness in themselves and find Christ. Can't happen. There's another place that mankind seeks Christ, and we find mention of it in the book of Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. Luke 3 and verse 7, we find this. We find that the multitude had come down to John the Baptist to get baptized because they heard that he was baptizing in Jordan out in the wilderness. They came down to get baptized of him, multitudes of them. And when they came, John said to the multitude in verse 7, those that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And we hear in that verse that there was a multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. There's another type of people attempting to get to Christ through a way that they think up themselves that doesn't work. Now, baptism here, let's let it represent a kind of works. a kind of religious works. Because there's more than baptism, but we don't have time to look at the other different kinds of works. But here we find the Jews were going to be baptized of John, and John classifies them as a generation of vipers. Why is that? Because they came down there imagining that they could do a work, baptism, and it would get them to Christ. And it wouldn't, because it's not His way. Baptism is an action that born-again believers are right candidates to perform, to have done on themselves. But baptism is not a work that anybody may do to get to Christ. It is not His way. It is that way that people go in, that Jesus says concerning them, I'll go my way and you'll seek me in baptism or some other religious work, and ye shall die in your sins. Now there's another place that mankind seeks to find Christ, and that is what I call a fabricated Christ, or a Christ who is born of erroneous perceptions. Fabricated Christs are a dime a dozen, brothers and sisters. We've got a world full of fabricated Christs today. We've got a world full of people who have fabricated a Christ in their own brains today. I'm going to use one example, and you can go home and surf the internet and discover how broad, how widespread this is. There's a so-called New Age movement out there that has identified itself at least as quasi-Christian, because it's always mentioning Jesus Christ, that's called the Religion of the Ascended Masters, or the Discipline of the Ascended Masters. And in this, they say some things that show you how far away from the way of Christ this kind of thinking is, and how much and certain it is that Jesus' statement to these people in our text is true for them. They say, there's a way, tried and true. Listen to these elements of truth in here. That saints, adepts, and avatars, I don't know who those people are, have walked. The way is universal, timeless, and will reunite, listen to this, really reunite you to your higher self, to the most sublime consciousness of God realization that can shine through you. This is a path, listen, this is a path of individual Christhood and Buddhahood that Jesus, Maitreya, Gautama, and many others, even in civilizations long forgotten, have helped forge. Do you hear the smoke and mirrors here, brothers and sisters? As you follow in their footsteps, it goes on to say, you will become one with Christ, the universal Christos. You will become the universal Christos. And you'll meet the universal Christos, which in the Greek means anointed. You will become awake, enlightened, and demonstrate the divine mission of every son and daughter of God. And that mission is to become a Jesus yourself. Is that or is that not a fabricated, artificial Christ? Yes, indeed. And we've got a world full of people out there that are following this teaching or something like it. We've got a world of people out there that are looking for the cosmic Christ to become Him themselves, to become God themselves. This is a way that men seek Christ, and that's why Christ can say, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Men who seek Christ by following an artificial philosophy concocted by the minds of men will die in their sins. This is not the Christ. It is nothing like the Christ. The Christ of the Bible is clearly defined. made known to us, and the power of the Spirit has the power to make that something to our souls. Now, we're out of time, but we want to just quickly mention one last point. Notice the finality of Jesus' assessment of these people as he spoke to them. He said, "Ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now, when we look at that, we know and understand that the soul that imagines that there's some saving power in being a student of the Bible, like I mentioned at first, cannot go where Christ is. A person has to be a student of the Christ of the Bible to go where Jesus is. We also know that the soul who imagines that there's some saving power in some self-imposed, superficial, man-made righteousness cannot go where Christ is. The righteousness that has saving power that brings us to Christ is the imputed righteousness of Christ that we receive at the hand of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That will get us to Christ, but he who has a superficial righteousness born of his own acting out cannot go where Jesus goes. Also, the soul who imagines there's some saving power in religious works like baptism or whatever cannot go where Christ is. Can't go. We find out that as we study the Bible, that religious works only have spiritual importance. Only have spiritual importance when they're done as acts of worship and service by a person who has first of all exercised faith, experienced faith in Christ of the Bible, the Christ in this book, and trusted in Him for their soul's salvation. The soul that imagines also that there is some saving power and using the intellect of humanity to discover the way to Christ, like these New Age movement people are doing. Anyone who believes that a person can use the human intellect to discover the Christ that will save them will end up with a false, artificial Christ, and it will condemn them, and the verse of our text will apply to them just as much as it did to those Jews that day. Ye shall seek me, and you will die in your sins. Have you found Christ? Have you found the Christ of the Bible?